Yes, my name's Susan. I normally live in Hong Kong, but I've come back especially at the coldest time of year, it seems. I think God ordered snow just so I wouldn't forget what it looks like. So it's really nice to be able to come and see you. It's the first time I've come to visit Slough, so I really appreciate the invitation. Thank you for letting me come to speak to you today. As a testimony, Tom, because you've been asking for testimonies, I'd like to begin, before I talk about Hong Kong, to give a personal testimony. So I think Pete and Helen have heard this before because I spoke at Marlow last week, so apologies. Okay, I actually went out to China 16 years ago. I know I don't look old enough to have gone out 16 years ago. But after a few years there, I had to return to England. And the reason was I had very severe depression. The only way I can describe that time is that I felt like my life was being stolen from me. And my calling, everything that was life within me, was being taken away. And the worst thing of all was I felt completely powerless to do anything about it. Now, I knew that I was a Christian, that I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, which meant that God's Spirit lived within me. And in Ephesians 1 says, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is within us. So I knew these things, and yet the reality of my life didn't match what I knew God's word said. So I had a big problem. How do I get what the reality in my life is to be where the truth of God's word is? And it took some time to figure out what to do, but my breakthrough came when I realized that I wasn't powerless. You know, the devil likes to lie to us. It's a very good reason why he's called the father of lies. And that's because he has one weapon. And his weapon against a Christian is deception. And so he will whisper, or sometimes he will shout, lies to you. And if we don't renew our minds, we can believe his lies, even though we know God's truth. There's this strange thing that I know what's true, I've read it in God's word, but. And when you start to put that, but look at my circumstances, but I feel this way, but my thoughts say something different to God's word. And it's very easy to allow ourselves to be carried along with what we feel or what we think. So I had to learn how to have my mind renewed. You know, in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it really was a transformation. That word, it's like, you know, the difference between a little wiggly caterpillar and a butterfly. And I felt like a little wiggly caterpillar a lot of the time. I was crawling about saying, oh God, I don't know what to do. And yet the Lord had not left me. He was still residing within me by his Spirit. And as I chose, I made a decision that when a thought that was negative came into my head, I would refuse it. I heard a pastor once say, you can't stop a bird flying over your head and landing upon your head, but you can stop the bird making a nest there. You can't always stop the thought coming in, but you certainly have the power to stop it sitting there and changing the way you feel and behave because you've allowed it to take root. It's far harder once you've allowed something to take root to start pulling it out than it is to, when it comes in, say no. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and sometimes he'll flee from you. No. it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise from God. And God's promises are all yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So, when I had a negative thought, when I woke up in the morning and I said to God, I don't feel like getting up today. I don't feel like I've got any energy. I don't feel positive. I chose to say, that might be how I feel, but I am not going to allow my feelings to dictate my life any longer. Because, you know, when you're born again, something miraculous happens. But it doesn't happen in your body. Because if you were fat before, I'm going to look at a thin person. If you were fat before, you'd be fat afterwards. You know? And it doesn't happen in our soul, our mind, our emotions, our character. It doesn't happen. That does not change. The only part of us that changes when we're born again is our spirits. Our spirit becomes brand new. That's why it's called being born again. Our body doesn't get new, our soul doesn't get new, but our spirit does. And God says, from the moment you are born again, you have the responsibility of taking everything I have put within your spirit and getting it out of there using faith and allowing it to transform your mind, to have an influence over your soul and your body. So what happened when we got born again? What happened? I like to quote Psalm 103 verse 3 because in two lines it describes what Jesus has done for us. The first line says, he has forgiven all our sins. But you know, that's not all that being saved is about. But it is the starting point. He says he's forgiven sins, all of them. Not just mine and yours, not just every Christian's, but every Buddhist's, every agnostic's, everyone who believes in Hinduism or Islam or is a Sikh or is an atheist. Every sin that has ever been committed or will ever be committed in the future has already been forgiven. Because Jesus only died once. It says once for all. For all time, for all people, for all sins. And then he didn't stay dead. He was raised to life again. And that's why when we agree that he is Lord, it says in Romans 10 verse 9, if we speak out Jesus is Lord and add to it some faith, add that we believe in our hearts that he was raised from the dead, then we'll be saved. So everyone in this room that is already saved has faith. We had to have faith to get saved. You can't get saved without faith. The second line of that verse, going back to Psalm 103 verse 3, it says, he heals all our diseases. Not just some of them, but all of them. When did he do that? When did he heal all our diseases? When, at the same time, he forgave all our sins. You know, we know how to live in the good of the first line. We get taught a lot about that. Not many of us are that good at living in everything that the second line says. Why is that? They're both equally true. You know, it says that Jesus, in Matthew 8:17, it says Jesus bore our sicknesses. When did he bear them? 1 Peter 2:24, he bore them when he was on the cross. And then, of course, the most famous part of that verse is, and by Jesus' wounds we are going to be healed. No, we have already been healed. So I suppose if I wanted to put a title on what I'm speaking about today, it's He's Already Done It. We are living in something that happened in the past. So when I was in the middle of this depression, I was waiting for God to do something. I believed in divine healing. I had had prayer. I had prayed myself. And I was waiting for God to do it. And then one day, I thought, if I believe what it says in the Bible, then I have to believe that second line of Psalm 103 verse 3 as much as I believe the first line, which means that I've already been healed, which means my reality, if it doesn't match with God's truth, what He's already done, then there must be a way of changing my reality so it's in line with what God has already done. How do I do that, Lord? And God says, transform your mind. You know, we have the ability to take every thought captive. That means when a thought comes in, we don't have to go with the flow. We don't have to say, this morning I'm feeling happy, so I'm going to smile at everybody and I'm going to bless everybody I come in contact with. But maybe tomorrow I'll get up and I'll feel a bit rotten for whatever reason. And then I go around feeling grumpy and not smiling and not blessing. What changed? God didn't change. He didn't decide that today, Susan, you're having a good day. Tomorrow, you're going to have a bad day. I'm sorry about that, but there's nothing we can do about it. So struggle through the day and then probably, maybe the following day, you'll have a good day again. I lived my life too long like that. And it's not the way God wants us to live. So in renewing my mind, I began to read the Bible a lot. It's the best way to renew your mind. You know, I knew scriptures, but I didn't know them. In Chinese, they use different words for our English word to know. And you can say, I know a person. And they use one word to know a person. They use another word if you can say, I know Italian. That's a different word to say that you have learnt and you have the skill to speak the Italian language. They have three different words for the word know. And one of those words is to know and to experience. And that's when I got my breakthrough. I went from just knowing, just being able to quote it, or maybe even telling you where in the Bible it was, to knowing the truth. I think it's in John 8, it says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And God was as good as His word, because God's truth set me free. So I wanted to give that testimony, because I realize not many of you know me very well, to say, the things that I will talk about Hong Kong, I come from a position of not always living in everything that God has already done for me. But I learned a lesson from that. And so now, when I think I might be having a bad day, I say, no, I refuse it. If it's not what God wants for me, then I don't want it, because I only receive gifts from my Heavenly Father. I do not receive gifts from the devil. Okay? So let's talk a little bit about Hong Kong. I hope that was an encouragement to some of you. I live in a very small island in Hong Kong. It has 60,000 people. It's called Chung Chow, but you can walk around it in a day. And it has no cars, no traffic on it. We have very big snakes. We have pythons that are 20 feet long. And we have mosquitoes that my neighbor said, if you could catch one, you could put a saddle on it and ride it. So it's an interesting place to live. I work with two young ladies. One is from the Philippines, called Nora, although our Chinese friends find it a bit difficult to say her name because there's no R sound in the Chinese language. So her name sounds a little more like Lola for the Cantonese people. And the other young lady is called May, and she is from Sumatra in Indonesia. And we work together, and we have a little place on Chung Chau that we call Chung Chau Christian Center. It's actually the flat where May and Nora live, but they have a larger living room than I do, so we have our meetings there. And in Hong Kong, there are about 7 million people, but a quarter of a million of them are known as foreign domestic helpers. They're mainly ladies, but some men, and they come to Hong Kong from the Philippines and Indonesia and Thailand and Sri Lanka. And they come to work in people's homes, and they do the cooking and the cleaning, and they look after the children. When they have their day off, which is meant to be once a week, but some of them only have one day off a month, but when they have their day off, they have to leave their employer's house, so they have nowhere to go. So we have this place where they can come, and they can rest and sleep and cook their own food and hear about Jesus. So when they come in, we love them practically, and we also tell them the good news. You know, it's called the good news, it's not the good prophecy. Have you ever thought about that? I read that the other day. Somebody's saying, it's the good news because it's already happened. We're not telling people about something that will happen. It's already happened. God has already given the greatest gift he will ever give in giving his son Jesus Christ. The only thing is, there are some people that are living on the earth today that haven't received the gift yet. That's the only difference between me and someone who's not saved. So we introduce these ladies that come to the center, and we introduce them to the gift. We introduce them to Jesus. We tell them about everything that is waiting for them. Every need that they have, it doesn't matter in what area of life, God has already given. That's why this word salvation is so important. I know many of you know that the actual original word in Greek is sozo, S-O-Z-O. And it doesn't mean forgiveness of sins. It's one of those small words that has a big meaning, a bit like peace, shalom. You know, that has a big meaning. You can pray a one-word prayer, shalom, and it changes things. Well, when you believe in sozo, in salvation, and receive salvation, you get many things. One is forgiveness of sins. But included in that word is also healing of diseases. There's also prosperity. There's also deliverance from oppression. We often live again in the first part of it and forget about the rest. And sometimes we pray really daft prayers. I mean, I'm guilty of this as anybody, although I am learning because I'm renewing my mind. But we pray things like, please God, heal me. And if God could be confused, I think he would be. And he'd say, didn't I already do that? When Jesus died, didn't I include that in salvation? I'm sure that was in there somewhere. So now, when I have a symptom of a disease, and nobody is immune because we live in a fallen world where there's bacteria and germs and other people who do daft things, when I get a symptom of something that's the matter with my body, I don't say, please God, heal me. And will you do it if I beg you long enough, if I shout loud enough, maybe if I fast and add a bit of power to my prayer? You know, fasting does not add power to prayer. Fasting changes us. It doesn't twist God's arm to make him answer. But that's another story, so we won't go down that road. So now, if I get a symptom, I say, Thank you, Lord, that I have already been healed. And I quote scripture and I turn to the verses and I read it out loud and I speak it out and I remind myself of all the good that God has already done. And then I do what Jesus did. He said, speak to the mountain and it moves. So I speak to it. So I say, headache, in Jesus' name be gone. You know what happens? It goes. It didn't always used to go straight away. And I used to think, maybe I need more faith. Have you ever felt like that? I've got to somehow get more faith. It's not scriptural. It is not what Jesus taught. Jesus said, mustard seed sized faith moves mountains. I had to have faith to get saved. If I'm still saved, I haven't lost that faith. I've still got it. If that faith was big enough to get me saved, then it's big enough to manifest the healing for a headache or anything else. You don't need to get more faith. You just need to use what you've already got. One of the things that happens in the centre is we don't have to explain to the ladies about the spiritual aspect of life. Most of the Indonesian ladies come from Muslim backgrounds, and most of the Filipina ladies are from a Catholic background. So they are aware of the spiritual side of life. One of the Indonesian ladies came to us one day and she said, I have a special necklace, but I want to ask you that you will pray for me that I will sleep well. Now, she's not a Christian at this stage. And so we said to her, why aren't you sleeping well? And she said, well, when I left Indonesia, the imam from the mosque gave me a necklace, and the necklace was meant to protect me from bad things. And he put three ghosts inside the necklace. And at night, the ghosts come out of the necklace and fly around the room. I like the ghosts being there because they protect me from evil things. But I'm having bad dreams. And so we said to her, do you think there's a connection between your bad dreams and the ghosts? And she said, oh no, no, the ghosts are good ghosts because the imam said it would keep me safe. So we said, well, what if we ask Jesus to take away the ghosts, even though you think they're good ghosts, and put angels there and see if your sleep improves? Well, she wasn't very sure about it. So we said, well, if we have your permission, we'll do that and we'll see what the difference was. Well, I think you probably know the end of the story because her sleep did improve. And she was encouraged that maybe these ghosts that she thought were good ghosts were maybe messing with her dream life a little bit. Of course, I think we would probably describe the ghosts as demons. And although sometimes the demons can appear to have power, again, they go back to the deception that is their weapon. And so she was able to be freed from that because we spoke the truth to her. And the truth set her free. So there's a lot of interesting things that go on with our ladies. One of our Filipina ladies is actually in prison at the moment. She became a Christian just a few days before she went to prison. And we were very concerned for her. She didn't have a Bible when she went to prison. But the Sunday before, we didn't know she was going to be convicted, I hasten to add. The Sunday before, she looked a bit worried. And so Nora and I went to speak with her and pray with her. And God gave us a picture of a huge big wave that was going to flatten her. Which doesn't sound very positive, does it? Except that God says, in the middle of the wave, I am there. I'm not just standing next to her. I am holding her. So he wanted her to know that whatever the circumstance, she would be safe. And then the other thing we had was Psalm 23, which of course is a very encouraging psalm. So the following day, she's convicted for 10 months and goes to prison. We didn't know where she was for several days until we found out what had happened to her. So we were praying and saying, "Oh Lord, she's only a few days old in you. She doesn't know anything. She hasn't got a Bible." And God says, "What have I told you about anxious thoughts, Susan?" "Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgot. I will take every thought captive." And he says, "Cast your cares on me because I care for you." So I did, and I didn't worry about her. Eventually, after about a month, we were able to get a Bible to her, and then we were able to visit her. And so there's a glass screen, and we're on the telephone speaking with her, a half an hour visit with her. "How are you?" "I'm blessed. I have joy. I have peace." She said, "I am sleeping better here than I did before." Isn't that incredible? It really spoke to me about you don't have to look at your circumstances, because if you look to Jesus, your circumstances don't matter. And she didn't know any scripture. At first she didn't have a Bible, but she said, "I memorized Psalm 23. That was the only scripture she knew. And so she would speak it out loud, and she would go to the other ladies in the prison and she would say, "Jesus loves you, I know, because he's in my heart." And then she didn't know what else to do. She didn't really know how to pray. So she'd speak Psalm 23 to them. And there she is, 2 or 3 days old in the Lord, blessing people, not looking at her circumstances, saying, "Praise God, nothing is impossible with you, Lord." Absolutely astounding. One of the Indonesian ladies that we know, she had a very interesting dream, which really spoke to my heart. So I'll tell you her dream. This is before she became a Christian. She had a dream that a man came to her with something in his hand. And he walked up to her and he opened his hand, and in his hand was a little wooden cross. So she looked at the cross and she recognized it as the symbol of Christianity. And she said, "I don't want it. I refuse it. Because I have been taught that Christians are very bad people." In fact, the word she used was, "Christians are dirty people. And I am not to have anything to do with them." But in the same dream, the same man came to her a second time. And this time, when he opened his hand, there was a little wooden heart. And the words that came out of her mouth in the dream were, "I want love." So she accepted the heart. And the message that came to her and to us when we heard the dream was that Jesus is not offering another religion. He is offering a relationship. So she wasn't swapping Islam for Christianity. She was swapping death for life. She was letting go of everything of the old and receiving a relationship with a living God. She was receiving love. And that completely transformed the way she thought about it. You know, having the label missionary, it can sound like all I do every day is go round preaching saying, "Repent or you're going to hell." I don't do that. I go round. Because, you know, the gospel means, the word gospel means good news. Telling somebody they're going to hell is not good news. So I don't do that. I try to emulate what Jesus did, and I am learning to do it better and better as I recognise what's already within me because I'm already born again. And what I go around doing is loving people. It sounds quite trite to say it that way, but I don't know another way of describing it. Now, stand me in front of a group of people or sit me in a room with a few people and I will talk about the Lord until somebody puts a piece of tape over my mouth. So I'm not saying that I don't speak and preach, but you know, if that's all I ever did, it would be similar to trying to offering another religion. And I cannot persuade anybody into the kingdom of God. There is no argument, there is no logical reasoning that I can give for anyone to believe in Jesus. It has to be a revelation. So that's what I pray. So when I meet somebody that doesn't know Jesus, that's my prayer. And it's always my prayer. God, I pray that they have a revelation of who you are, a revelation of how much you love them. That's what got me into the kingdom, God's love. I remember the first time that somebody really told me who Jesus was. Now, I had been to Sunday school as a little girl, but I was 26 years old before I became a Christian. And this lady came and she said to me, "Jesus loves you." And I thought, oh no, it's one of those weirdos. So that's lovely. That's nice for you if you need that crutch to, you know, get you through life, but I don't need that. And she said, "I think you do." She knew me better than I knew myself, or rather than I was being truthful about who I was. And as she continued to talk, and as I met her two or three times, I recognized that she had something I did not have. She had security. When I looked at her circumstances, they weren't as good as my circumstances. We're going back to the 80s now, and I was a pretend yuppie. Some of you remember what a yuppie was, you know. I wasn't quite there, but I was trying to be. So I was, you know, sophisticated, and I had a very scientific background. And the lady that was speaking to me was a farmer's wife. So I was extremely condescending. And I was extremely condescending to her husband when he came in and said to me, "You really need God in your life." I said, "No, thank you very much. I have everything I need. I've got money, got relationship, got possessions." And the lady said to me, "Have you got peace?" Ooh. Well, I'm not sure what you mean by that, but whatever it is, I can probably go and buy it. I recognized that they had something that I did not have, and I wanted it. And what I saw in them was Jesus. You know, the best gospel walks around on two legs. It's us. Everything we do, everything we say. If you're around somebody who's not a Christian, they watch. They watch you. There are people that come up to me on Chung Chau. There are not many non-Chinese that live in Chung Chau. So I stick out a little bit. I've had people say, "Aren't your feet big? Are your eyelashes real? Haven't you got a tall nose?" Where was I going with that? I've forgotten already. People come up to me and say, "I know who you are. You've lived here for so many years. You do this. I've seen you do that." And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. People watch what we do. They watch how we behave. They listen to what we say. It's not just on Sunday. It's not just within a Bible study or when you're having a conversation about the Lord with them. They watch what you do all the time. And sometimes they quite rightly say, "What you say doesn't match with the way you behave." So we have a responsibility because we're the advert. God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. How do we do that? Well, we heal the sick, we raise the dead, we cleanse the lepers, and we tell them that Jesus loves you. And then we live what we say. It's like Eileen saying, put your money where your mouth is. It's like, if you're going to say it, then live it. Because if you don't live it, why should they want to? One of the things that God spoke... How are we doing for time? One of the things that God spoke to me last year was, Susan, stop asking me for things. Use what you've got. That really changed my life, that did. That was like a revolution that went off in my head. Because although I'd gone through this process of transforming my mind, of understanding that it's already done, I've already got everything, we still need to understand and go through and get into the deeper things with God. So then I began to say to the Lord, well, okay, remind me, what have I got? You know, it's easy enough to hear something in your spirit, but then sometimes you have to ask the Lord to explain it, because he can say three words and it can completely change your life. Father, what have I got? What did you give me? Philemon 1:6, every good thing. How many good things? Every. Every good thing is within me. Because my spirit has changed. Because I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:3 says, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing. And I thought, oh, well, that doesn't mean any physical blessings then, or any emotional blessings. And the Lord's saying, do you think I would leave you? There's three parts of you. Do you think I would only bless one part of you and not the other two parts? Well, he says, spiritual blessings, Lord. He said, who am I? John 4:24, God is a spirit. God is spirit. That's why we need a spirit to communicate with him. Spirit to spirit communication. It's instantaneous. It's wonderful. Helps if you bypass your mind sometimes. That's why he gives us a heavenly language, so that our mind doesn't always have to engage even when we communicate with him. So he said, I'm spirit, so I give you spiritual blessings. It's speaking of the source of the blessing, not I only bless your spirit, but the rest of you, well, you just have to make the best of it. But he says, every blessing. You know, I could read out dozens of scriptures, probably hundreds, but there's one thing that would be characteristic of every single one, and it's that every time God promises us something, he gives us all of it. It reminds me of, we're just thinking about the children. You know, I have a friend who became a Christian when she was 5 years old. When she was 8 years old, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't give us a portion of the Holy Spirit because we're only 8 years old. And when you become 21, then you can have the full package. It's like when he comes and he baptizes you, he submerges you, immerses you, every fiber of your being becomes his, you get everything. Now, at 8 years old, you don't have the intellect to understand some of the scriptures. At 47 years old, you don't either. Yet, at 8 years old, my friend was able to pray for people and they would be healed. She laid hands on people and saw God change lives. Why? Not because she could quote scripture to you necessarily, although probably she did know a few scriptures, but because God's spirit was within her. She didn't have baby Holy Spirit, she had full adult size Holy Spirit. All the power was there, and she had learnt how to release it. So whenever God gives everything. But I suppose if I want to leave you with one thing, it's remember that he has already given it. So if we can grasp that truth, it should change the way we pray and think and live and believe. Because when you are living from a place of already having something, if your reality is different to that truth, you know your reality can change. It's like somebody already giving you something and then asking them, "Can I have it, please?" What do they say to that? "But I've already given it to you." "But can I have it, please?" "But I've already given it to you." "Well, can I have it, please?" It doesn't make sense. And I think sometimes God is trying to remind us, "I've already given this to you." So now, when I pray for healing, I don't say, "Please, I want your healing." I say, "Thank you, I've already got it." And I pray for the manifestation of what God has already done. It changes things. It changes lives. And that's the message. That's the gospel. That's the good news. It's not a good prophecy because it's about something that's going to happen. The message we have is what has already happened. And if we are adverts for Jesus, then we go about allowing him to touch everybody that we come into contact with. We don't have to wait for an opportunity. I remember saying, "Oh God, give me an opportunity." He said, "You don't need an opportunity, just go and be. You don't have to do. I'm not really interested in what you do. I'm interested in you being Jesus to people." And when I do that, I went in, the first day I was back here, went into the car phone warehouse in Marlow, had to change the SIM card on my phone. You know, I've got a Hong Kong phone, I had to change it so I could use it here. I don't know about these things. I left the old SIM card on the counter and went home and forgot it. I didn't realise I should have had two. Anyway, I go in there, there's this young man behind the counter, and he said, and I explained what I wanted, and he said, "Oh, what are you doing in Hong Kong?" I said, "Well..." I said, "I'm there because I want to tell people about Jesus." He said, "Oh, right." I said, "God really loves you." And he said, "Thank you." I said, "You're welcome." Then I forgot my old SIM card, went home, and I was saying to the Lord, "Maybe I should have said something else." And then I realised I'd forgotten. I said, "Oh, that's good. I have an opportunity." So I went back and said, "Hello, do you remember me?" "Oh, yes." I said, "I've come back because I forgot my SIM card." He said, "Yes, I know. I've put it in a little box. Here it is." I said, "Actually, I'm really pleased I forgot it because it gives me another opportunity to come back." He said, "Oh, right. What else do you want?" I said, "Well, actually, I think God wants to say to you that you have some dreams and you've been giving up on your dreams. And I think God wants to encourage you not to." And he got all misty-eyed, this 20-odd-year-old lad. And he said, "You're right." He said, "I've been working here about 3 months." He said, "It's a good job. It's not bad pay. Pays the bills." He said, "But I've got dreams and I've been letting them go." I said, "Well, if you commit your life to Jesus, to the Lord, those dreams are part of what he's put in your life already." He said, "Okay." I said, "I wanted to say that to you because I think God is speaking to you. It's important that you know God loves you. And if I had to come from Hong Kong to Marlow just to do that, it was worth it." And this young man, it's like, he said, "Okay, thank you very much." I said, "You're welcome." So now Marlow congregation, car phone warehouse. I'll tell you his name later. I don't want to say it on the tape, but you've got an opening there. You see, I wasn't particularly asking for an opportunity, but things just happen because we're being Jesus to people. If there's anybody, is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour? I don't know you, so I don't know. Is there? Anybody? No? Is everybody baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes? Has everybody got a prayer language? Everybody speak in tongues? Would anybody like to today? Today is the day. God has a gift for you. If you would like, nobody's going to pressurize you. You know, it is not scriptural to teach that you have to speak in tongues to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's not true. I know people that are very clearly baptized in the Holy Spirit. They just choose not to receive the gift. I don't know why you would not choose to receive the gift. Speaking in tongues is a wonderful gift. It's the gift you can take and use anywhere, at any time. You don't have to be with other Christians. You know, many of the gifts that God gives to the church, he says, it's for the church, it's to encourage one another. The gift of tongues edifies me. It edifies us. Right? It's something that doesn't take intellectual know-how. In fact, it's better if you don't use that. But it's something that once I receive the gift of tongues, it's like, why did I wait to have this? God gives you an ability to speak to him directly from your spirit to his spirit. Your mind will not understand what your mouth is saying. And that's a strange concept. Every one of us that already has the gift of tongues recognizes that. The person that prayed for me, I said, I don't know what to do. He said, well, don't wait for God to make a noise and force you to speak out. He said, you've got to start moving your tongue, making noises. He said, say banana backwards. And then it began. It helps if there are people around you that are praying quite loudly in their own prayer language, because then you feel less conscious that people are waiting for... Has she said anything yet? Do you think that was it? Was that just... So it helps when you get round, when there's more than one of you, you can gather round and everybody prays, and then you can let go of your inhibitions and let go of the embarrassment a bit and just let the Holy Spirit bubble up out of your spirit, and something comes out of your mouth that's not the language that you were taught, or not another language that you have learnt at school, but it's a language that God gives you. You don't have to read a grammar book to understand it. Praise God for that. Somebody who's tried to learn Mandarin and Cantonese. So is there anybody here today who would like to speak in tongues who doesn't? Okay. Well, the first thing I would say is try not to think about what your mouth's saying. And if there's only four noises, then that's four more than you had before. I know a lady who, if I told you her name, you would recognize her. She's a very famous speaker. And her testimony about speaking in tongues is for 1 year, she had one word, one. In fact, she learnt later that it was a word in another language, but she didn't know it, but it was an earthly language. And she was saying worship. But she had one word, and she was very frustrated about it. But God, I know my friends, and it's like it all comes gushing out, and it, you know, you can hear the intonation, and then they'll say, oh, well, I have different languages. I have more than one. And sometimes when I'm really feel like I'm praising God, it's one. And then when I'm in a different situation, it will be another. But she had one word for a year, and God said, trust me. Now, that's her testimony. Now, after the year, she found that I just said another word. And gradually, very gradually, and now she has what she would consider a language. So don't be put off by a small beginning. Okay. Who would like... What's your name? Oh.
Who would like to pray for Patricia? Okay. Patricia, would you like to? I don't...
Okay. The only qualification for praying in tongues is receiving the gift. That's it. God says, do you want it? If you say yes, that's it. That's all you need. So today, we have an opportunity to encourage you in it. You may already have it, but you just want it to expand. That's right. Okay. Well, we can do it. We're more than happy to stand with you and to encourage you. That's what we're here for. That's why God says, don't stop meeting together because you encourage one another. So we can do that. Okay. Is there anybody that needs an encouragement of an emotional kind? Anybody that recognized something when I was speaking about depression? I'd really like to pray with you today because I know what that's like. You know, we all need to encourage one another. Is there anybody that needs physical healing today? You've got any symptoms that you want to get rid of, that you want to say, I resist the devil and he will flee from me? Manifest the healing that Jesus has already given. You know, you don't need a big faith. You may have prayed before. You may have seen small breakthrough, but we are on our journey. And every opportunity we have, we can encourage one another. Okay, I'm going to stop speaking now. And anybody who wants prayer for any of those things or anything else, please come out. Find somebody, find your pastor, find somebody to pray with. Because today is the day of salvation, not just forgiveness of sins, but freedom from oppression, encouragements through prosperity, healing of diseases. It's all here for us. Why? Because he has already done it. He's already given it. So God's not waiting to give it. He's already given it. The only thing that causes the hindrance is on our side, never on God's. He never says, I will give it to you, but I won't give it to you. He never does that. It's only about us receiving the manifestation of what he has already done. So, in closing, I want to say, use what you've got if you're a Christian and filled with the Holy Spirit. Use what you have already been given. Use the faith. Use the good things that he has put within you. And see your life and the lives of everyone around you transformed. Because that's the business that Jesus is about. Transforming lives. We don't have to go around living as others live. We can live a victorious life because Jesus has already won the battle for us.